What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 231, and our podcast is, of course, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Well, just had a little ice cream, some peach, like mixed in with vanilla. So I'm going to be all sugared up, ready to go.
I had thought about getting some ice cream before the podcast, but I was like, I'll wait.
I didn't even have to go get it. Like, my wife went and got it with the kids, brought some home. So, like, I ate half of it. Then after the podcast, I'm going to eat the rest and then we're gonna do some game streaming. So.
Yeah, I'm addicted to the new, like, Cinnabon has ice cream at Target now, and it might be the best thing that I've ever had. It's like crack. It's like crack ice cream. It's that good. So that's pro tip, Cinnabon ice cream. Definitely check that out. But of course, we are a tech podcast, and we talk about some of the latest stories and, of course, some of the cool products that we've gotten to take a look at. And we'll start out this week by talking about a product that you and I have both seen. But the thing about this type of product is you really need to use it to really say if it's worth it. The product that we're talking about is the Corsair One. So a couple years ago, Corsair introduced an all-in-one PC, a pre-built PC that is an incredibly small form factor with both a liquid-cooled CPU and GPU. And the whole idea of pre-builts, and we've seen pre-builts for years, the thing that I don't like to recommend pre-builts that are going to look like any other computer out there, or that, like, you know, I would suggest somebody getting a pre-built with, like, crazy water cooling, because that's not something that beginners can learn easily, I would say. Like, even I don't know how to do, like, hard tubing and things like that. So, like, that's a pre-built that I would suggest to somebody. But one that just uses the standard parts that looks like any computer, I it's kind of hard for me to recommend those.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. On one hand, I understand, because a lot of times they don't look crazy or anything, right? So it keeps that cost down typically. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's going to be some costs associated with them putting it together for you and shipping it out. But you take a look at the Corsair One, it's got that custom case and all sorts of, you know, modifications and designs to make it as efficient and powerful as possible.
Yeah. So what Corsair has done is, one, they've made an incredibly small PC. This thing is 12 liters. Total volume, which makes it incredibly small. And we have reviewed cases that you can get that are really small, and we'll go into that. But as you can see, this thing is very, very small, but it's still very well made. The entire chassis is metal. It feels really tough. Like, it feels, you know, nice, and it's very heavy. It doesn't feel cheaply made. And with a lot of pre-builts, they use cases that you can get anywhere that you can pick up at Newegg. You're not going to find this chassis anywhere. It's you know, Corsair has made it, and you're not going to find it anywhere. So that is what you're going to get there. And one thing that I like about it is, when you do get small form factor pre-builts, you cannot upgrade them. You have to send the whole thing back or whatever, or there's no way to upgrade down the line. Most times you have an SSD failure. It's probably one of the most common things, or a memory failure. With this, you can actually open it up and you can replace the CPU. You can replace the memory. You can replace the SSDs. And I think that's really awesome about this. But what Corsair has done is, we know Corsair for being a leader in the AIO space. We reviewed a ton of their AIOs. They're some of the best out there. Now that they have IQ software controlling everything is software controlled. So they've brought that into this, which is really cool. So that's how they're able to achieve their, you know, both a liquid cooled GPU and liquid cooled CPU. So actually opening this thing up is not all that difficult, surprisingly. The top fan kind of pops off, and then you can see there's four screws, two on each side. you undo those and sort of lift the panels off, and they kind of come off like this, and you can kind of see what's inside. And I was actually really interested to see what was inside this system, just for the fact as, you know, how are they able to do this? What's the liquid cooling situation like? So on each side, you have an all-in-one or all-inclusive, you know, liquid cooling system. Mm-hmm. So this is the GPU side. Inside this is a 2080 Ti. And what they've done is they have a decently long radiator. And then they have, of course, the pump block here. And then they have a fan, actually, which sits on the power delivery components of the GPU. And then this fan, of course, as well. So you have this kind of all in here. And this is, again, not something that you can buy.
Are there fans attached to that radiator directly?
No.
Okay. I didn't. Yeah. No, so no, it's really just using that top fan to suck air through, right?
Yes, correct. Okay. So this is, again, if you were to even find a small form factor case, you're not going to be able to do this. This is, they completely gutted the card and put on these custom parts. Yep. So you have that side. And again, you can see our GPU here and everything. And then on the opposite side, we have a little bit of a shorter radiator connected to an all-in-one unit for the CPU. Same kind of principle there. No fans, again, but it's just an all-in-one unit. We do have a fan at the top, and that's supposed to bring all of the air out of the system. And it's really well built. Everything is in there. You can see we have an SFX power supply, of course, made by Corsair. The downside, the only downside to this unit is I don't have no clue why they have an M.2 SSD that's directly connected to the motherboard, but they use a 2 terabyte, 2.5-inch hard drive. And they could have just done a SATA SSD.
Sure. Well, and it doesn't help. It's also a 5,400 RPM drive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Seagate 5,400 RPM drive.
That stinks.
And again, they give you a 960 gig Samsung NVMe SSD, which is plenty powerful. But if you're loading a ton of games, you're probably going to want to load them on the 2 terabyte, right? For the most part. And the fact that nobody wants to like load games from a 5,400 RPM hard drive.
No,
that's the one downside. Not at all. But everything else, like internally, it's all connected well. The cable routing's good. You know, it is very tight in there, obviously, but I think that they've done a good job. Of course, Corsair memory and all that. But it's a really cool system to open up and all of that. And this is the i200. This is their new version. Of course, we had 10th generation Intel parts come out, so this features the i9-10900K with an RTX 2080 Ti, 32 gigabytes of DDR4, that 960 gig PCI Express 3.0 NVMe drive. You have the 5,400 RPM 2 terabyte drive. And then you have the motherboard is actually MSI Z490i Unity board. I don't know if the board specifically made. I don't know if it's actually the retail board, because when you bring it up in CPU-Z, it says Z490i Corsair. So I don't know if there's something different about it, but it is the Z490i Unify board that they have. And Corsair does, you do get IQ, but before that, you get this new, I've never seen this app. It's called Corsair Diagnostics. It's powered by PC Doctor. Basically, like if you're a beginner, you might not know, you know, kind of what's going on in your system. You can do a system scan. You can see Windows updates. You can see your storage network. You know, all that.
I really
liked
this. You know, like because if you are that person buying the all in one, you know, you or the pre-built, I think this is a great application for you. It's just that dashboard to say, hey, my storage looks good. I haven't set up any backups, and you know, a system scan hasn't run on my hardware, but everything else looks fine, right? It's just a nice dashboard to show you the status of your system. And then you could obviously get your configuration via IQ, but no, I like this. I don't consider this to be like bloatware or anything.
Yeah, you know there was no other bloatware. There wasn't like virus crap that you get and all this other stuff, you know, and whatever. This was the only app plus IQ is on there. The only thing I wish there would have been like another thing here for IQ, because if you don't know what IQ is, you would never know.
Yeah.
You would never open it. So that would be kind of nice to have that on there, but it's a cool little, cool little tool. And then of course we have IQ, on the front of the system. There are four RGB zones per side, each, just like all Corsair products. Each of these are controlled individually. So you can set them to do whatever you want. They look pretty cool. You can see them there. I kind of like that they haven't really done, overdone the RGB, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing that was weird though is like when I would launch certain games, the RGBs would change that color. So like I have Division 2 open, you can see the orange and the white, but there was no setting for that in IQ anywhere. So I don't know.
It just came up.
Yeah, it just came up. So I couldn't find a setting anywhere for that in IQ. But the RGB lights are pretty cool. And of course, it's just an added bonus. As far as like changing performance, you really couldn't do all that much. All you could really do is change the fan speeds, or I don't know if this even does the pump speeds, or the pumps are set for PWM, which I'm guessing. But you could just do default, extreme, and then set a custom fan speed. And the custom fan speed is basically like your own fan curve. That was it. So not a whole lot when it came to performance.
Did they include like the, you said it's got an MSI motherboard. Did they include any of the MSI utilities to change anything that way?
Okay. Nothing like that is pre-installed. I'm sure you could do that, right? Sure. They have a graphing tool, which you can use to graph speeds and things like that. And then they have notifications. I do kind of like this because if, when the temp is a, when the temperature gets high, you can trigger all the RGBs to red, you can run a file, you can shut down the PC, things like that. I kind of like that it's built into IQ, but that's pretty much all you get when it comes to configuration, which again, I think it's good because for, again, people buying a pre-built, they might not want giving them more.
Too many options becomes confusing.
Yeah, it comes confusing. So I think it's good enough. And if all of the fans are on PWM, it's kind of going to do its own thing anyways. Coming to temperatures. So that's the biggest thing when it comes to a small form factor PC is temperatures. Is this thing, if I load up a game, is this thing going to get super hot? Is that single fan actually going to do its job? And we ran into issues with the NZXT H1 when it came to temperatures too, but they weren't too bad. So I did three different tests. I did, of course, an idle test, a gaming test where I was playing Apex Legends for 1 hour, and I did a full load test running the Ada 64 system stability test. And if you look at it, it's not horrible. So our idle test for our CPU is 44 degrees Celsius and 36 degrees Celsius. During gaming, our CPU went up to 55 and our GPU only went up to 44, which is pretty respectable.
Pretty good, yeah.
And then during our full load, on the CPU, our CPU went up to 75 and our GPU went up to 61. CPU is a 10900K, which gets very hot regardless. So I can't put that much fault on. And this is an extended load. This isn't like, you're encoding something for a minute and it's done,
Yeah.
So that's kind of what.
Pretty good temperature on the GPU as well.
Yeah, very good temperature on the GPU. Very surprised at that. So that was really good. Power consumption, it's based on the components, especially with full load, it's going to use a lot of power, especially for that CPU if you're putting full load on it. But it's good overall. And as far as gaming performance, the big thing with gaming performance, it's all based on the parts that are inside. So, of course, this one is their newer one. For gaming, this is going to be a very high frame rate 1440p machine, as well as 1080p machine, being able to push like 144 hertz and above displays. 4K, you can do it at over 60 frames a second. You may have to put a few of those settings down, but we tested five games and we did them all at 4K, 1440p, and 1080p. You can see all the results of those. But I think it's a great gaming machine. And the thing I really like about it is that it's a machine that you're not going to find anywhere else. You're not going to find anything that looks close to it. I actually did a PC part picker with all the parts that are inside, and I couldn't even find the NZXT H1, which sells for $349. So my PC part picker, which I should be able to bring up still, which has everything that was in there, was 27,1809. And then if you added in the NZXT H1, which was not on that list, and you can't, apparently you can't buy it, that's another $350. So that brings the total to almost $3,100. Corsair is selling this for $3,500. And I think that that's not a bad price based on what you're getting. I really don't. I think that a lot of times you see pre-builds be crazy more expensive than the sum of their parts. And when you think $3,500 for a pre-built system, it is expensive, but you are getting like the best Intel, the best Intel, you know, mainstream processor out there. You're getting the best NVIDIA graphics card out there. You're getting a 1 terabyte NVMe SSD. You're getting the latest Z490 motherboard, and you're getting
super custom case with custom cooling.
Yeah. Yeah. And we could do all this in the NZXT H1. The NZXT H1 is 16 liters, not 12. So it's also bigger. You cannot do it gives you water cooling for your CPU, but you cannot do any type of water cooling for your GPU unless it's completely custom and you had to rip apart the case and make it bigger anyways. And there's no fans in the, or places to put fans in the NZXT H1. So I think Corsair has done something awesome, something that you know, us as enthusiasts, we hear pre-built and we're like, you know, but when it's something this small, like I have it sitting over there, and you guys can't really see behind me, but it is so small. Like it is perfect. It's going to fit on any desk. You kind of just
super high end looking too, like, and you like touch one and that top piece is like super sturdy, you know, everything about it looks and feels high end. Obviously they've put good components in it. I love them. Every time I see one, I have to stop and look at it, because you don't see it, like you said, you don't see them that often. But when you do, they're really cool to
I think that they've just done it right. Like it's something that they've taken their expertise at cooling. They've gone ahead and got a custom chassis that will fit that, you know, those AIOs, and it's all done right. And it's easy. Like you can turn it on and not touch any setting and you're good to go. It comes preloaded with Windows, you know, Windows 10, you're good to go. The only setup is the initial Windows setup as far as like setting up your account and all that kind of stuff. But that is it. It's super fast. I didn't mention the motherboard that they use has Wi-Fi 6 as well as 2.5 gig LAN. You have Bluetooth on there as well. So you're good to go. And it has Thunderbolt 3. I didn't even talk about that, which is a very high-end thing that you don't typically get. So
plus, it doesn't have like USB and like an HDMI at the front.
Oh, yeah. So we didn't,
right?
Yeah,
for like so, VR stuff?
Yeah, so it has It has two USB 3.1 ports here. You have your combo audio, and then you have a HDMI, which of course is connected to the graphics card. So if you did have a VR headset, it's just easier to access. On the back, you have three DisplayPort, you know, of course, for your monitor and all that kind of stuff. So it does have a lot. Like it's just well done. I've reviewed a few pre-builts, and they're just like, yeah, I could do this myself. This is something I couldn't do myself. And I think that it's not crazy overpriced and it's high quality. And it, again, it doesn't overheat. And that was my biggest thing when it comes to these small form factors, is that they sometimes overheat. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Again, the only downside is that it is, you do have that 2 terabyte 5,400 RPM drive. I really would have liked to just give me even a once. I would rather take a one terabyte solid state SATA drive over that. Another thing is that getting it open was pretty easy for me, but of course I'm like an experienced builder. So for some other people, it might be a little bit hard to do that. And again, you are paying a premium, but I think the premium is pretty fair on this one. So definitely check out Corsair One. They offer them in a ton of different configurations. They have high-end desktop configurations. They have not only Intel, but Ryzen configurations as well. If you don't want to build your own PC and you're looking at a pre-built and you want something small, it's going to look awesome on your desk, but also be super high performance, it's definitely the way to go. Cool. I had a lot of fun reviewing it, and it was definitely something that, again, I wanted to you know, actually have for a while and test. And I'm glad that I did. So definitely check that one out. And up next, we have Cooler Master. And when you think of Cooler Master, what's the first product that you really think of?
I mean, there's two. There's the Hyper 212 Evo Cooler, and then there's like their HAF line of cases. That's okay. Those are the things I think of first.
I do think of their keyboards because I've been a fan of their keyboards for a while. They haven't released a good new keyboard, though, in a while.
Not at least a while. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they showed us at CES, and we weren't sure if these were going to come out, but they had monitors, and they sent me one out, and I've been testing it. It is their GM34CW, which is their second monitor. So they had a 27-inch as well. Of course, you know me, I'm Mr. Ultra Wide, so I had to review the 34-inch. So it's a 34-inch Ultra Wide. It is a 144 hertz, and that's the thing that we're getting now is kind of like the normal now when you see ultra wides. Before, it was like 75 to 100, you know, like Asus and some of the bigger companies had 144, but you typically didn't get it. Now we have it. So 144 hertz refresh rate, 1500R curve, which is more curved than say like an 1800R, which is what you typically see.
Standard,
95% DCI P3 color gamut. It does have some gaming specific features too. And I think that it makes sense for Cooler Master to get into this. They also at CES announced like a gaming chair and a desk and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of makes sense to kind of move into this. The screens and the glass is getting really affordable. That's why you see a lot of companies kind of doing this. So, I mean, looking at the screen itself, it is very nice. Incredibly thin bezels, which has kind of become standard, but sometimes you still see bigger bezels, but incredibly, you know, clean bezels. One thing that's kind of funny is they made the stand, the Cooler Master logo.
I think they would have been like, it would have been a problem for me if they didn't. I think it looks perfect.
It does look cool.
But it looks like it sticks out quite a bit.
It sticks out and it does take up some space. Mm-hmm. But their stand is rather nice. You get vertical adjustments. So this actually moves up and down, and then you can tilt it quite easily. I really like it. But the stand is very heavy and very, like, it's very heavy duty. So you're not going to, you know, here's like the adjustments. So here's the lowest that the screen can go. Here's the highest. And then you can move it, you know, side to side pretty well. So that is no change. Of course, it's a curve, so you're not going to change it to portrait anyways. Yeah. But back of the screen, you have these kind of like, I don't know what you want to call them, but they're like little LED panels, and they're LED. They're not RGB, which is kind of disappointing.
Okay.
Considering Cooler Master does have their own RGB software, it would have been nice to kind of have that. You have a small little Cooler Master logo. And then as far as connections, you have audio pass through or just, you know, audio, and then you have, two display ports and two HDMI and of course your power over there. And I do feel, or I didn't talk about it. But you do have the buttons here to do the OSD, which I'm not a fan of.
You like the joystick better, right?
Yeah. The joystick. So that's one of the things that they did wrong on this is that you can see what it looks like with a picture. The picture is really great. The colors are really great. Didn't need to change a whole lot out of the box. They do have a bunch of different profiles. Here's what the OSD looks like. It's like your typical
standard
OSD. And then you have to control it with those four buttons on the front. And when you're trying to do that, it's just annoying. We've seen, Samsung and MSI
Razer has the little joystick, I think.
Yeah, the joystick. So it's just so much easier with the joystick. On top of that, we've seen MSI and Gigabyte go with software, which is 100 times better. And the software allows you to do RGB and stuff like that. So, you know, you can the menu system, I really wish it would have been software or at least a joystick, because the joystick would have given us it's just easier. This is a G-Sync display, G-Sync compatible as well as FreeSync compatible. So that's pretty easy to set up. You just turn it on and then it will show up in your
Is it G-Sync certified or just like they're
compatible?
Compatible. Okay.
Yeah. It's HDR 400, which isn't anything if you're talking about HDR. It's 400, right. And it's a brightness, which is not all that bright, but it's pretty standard for like a stand. This is like a standard display, really. Here's those lit up. They're only like that Cooler Master. It's kind of hard to see in this picture, but they're only that Cooler Master purple. You can set them to be on all the time or to blink, and the blink is like very fast, and I would never suggest that to anybody, so don't do that. But this is a UWQHD 3440 by 1440. I always talk about this as far as productivity. As you can see here, I have my two two windows open side by side. They're good size. I can read all the text. You don't need to use any magnification. It's an good display for productivity. I love this size. This is the size that's in front of me right now. So it's really good. Cool. So you have that. And then, for gaming, 144 Hertz is a lot of fun. I obviously played Apex on it. It looks awesome. I do feel that the 1500R curve is a little too curved for a FPS like Apex or CS or what did we play? Hyperscape last week, you know. It's just a little too much. I did what I do even on this monitor is I played it in 1440p, kind of like in the center. And then I can have Discord on the side or Twitch on the side, which I would suggest. But for really immersive games, I also played I do have the picture here. You can see here where I played Star Wars, and having that or like a racing game or a big MMO with an ultra wide is so awesome. The curve doesn't matter because you don't necessarily need to see what's in that corner, right away. So it's really a great experience. I didn't have any issues with, ghosting or anything like that while playing really fast games. They do offer, it's not really advertised, but they offer the little always on crosshair that you can kind of see there with the red. You can do dots, you can do the little crosshair like I have there. It kind of makes a difference, not really, but it's a good display. I think they came out with the 27 and the 34 for their first displays. They tick all the boxes as far as either curved, they're 144 hertz, 1 ms response times, they have all those things. I really wish the price is $799, which isn't bad, although you can get the MSI Optix, which is also 144 hertz, and it has more features per se, and it does have the software. It has the it's to change and do some other stuff. But I think I gave us an 8 out of 10 because I think it's a good entry into gaming monitors. It's not a bad monitor by any means, and it does a good job. There is no USB ports, which I think is a downside, especially for a gaming monitor, because a lot of people, you want to connect your mouse right up to it or your headset right up to it a lot of times. So you don't get that. And if you look at the stand, there's absolutely no cable management.
Not even like a little bracket to run.
There's no bracket or anything. You could technically bring the cables up, but you would still have to have like a zip tie to bring them down. Yeah, so you're definitely going to see them if you don't do anything. So some cable management would have been nice. But again, for their first display, I think it's a good entry into it, and I'm excited to see what they kind of do going forward. It would be nice to have them. They've had pretty good RGB and control software. Maybe for this next generation, bring software into the monitor. But it's a good display. I the only reason I'm not using it is because I just have this display that I have on an arm here, but it is a really nice display. 1500R is really good for immersion and things like that. So it's a really good display. So definitely check that one out as well. And we'll move on to our final review, which is another really good product. And it's one that I think that if you are building a system that has a window, this is just makes sense, I would say. Have you ever bought braided individually sleeved cables before?
So not on the level that these are, I'm not sure if these came with the cable combs. I think that they did, right?
Yeah.
I've actually bought some extensions from Silverstone for a Silverstone power supply, but they were loose.
Okay.
Paired, right. There's no cable combs with them, but I really liked them. I've only done it once. I'd like to do it more often, but I always feel like I'm swapping parts or doing something, and I
never, yeah.
Like a build for me is never final and it's never changing. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what you thought of these.
Yeah. So individually sleeved cables have kind of been a thing, especially in the enthusiast realm for a few years now. And you see kind of people sprout up on forums and on like Instagram making custom ones. There's full companies. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Cable Mod. What Cable Mod does is they make full kits. So instead of having your cables come out of your Corsair or your Silverstone or your Seasonic power supply, they make cable kits specifically tailored towards those power supplies. And even Corsair makes them now for their own power supplies. I have one in this case, and those are great. But if you're only, just like this case, I only see my 8-pin EPS, I only see my 24-pin, and I only see my PCI Express connectors. The rest of the cables are hidden, and I'll never see them. And I have that over $100 cable kit for those three little things, which kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So what Silverstone has done is they've made their own extension cables. So basically, you have your cables that come with your power supply. These plug into the end. And what's great about that is that, yeah, like, so I have a Corsair power supply. I bought the Corsair power supply kit. So I can only use those cables with that Corsair power supply or maybe another Corsair power supply. I can't switch them from power supply to power supply. Since these plug in to my, you know, we'll just plug into the end of the cable, it will work with any 24-pin right. ATX. It will work with any 8-pin EPS. It will work with any 8-pin PCI Express connector. So they sent us all three of the cables. All the cables are 300 millimeters long or 30 centimeters long, which is more than enough. Super high quality. Each one comes with four cable combs, which are incredibly important as far as keeping the shape and keeping them looking nice and makes them easier to bend and everything like that. Why can't I get a page two? That's weird.
Did you break it?
I think I broke the site. I think I can just hit two. I think my browser is broken.
Uh-oh.
We'll try that one again. Let's try this again. but what's really cool about those is that you're going to spend a whole lot less money, right? I buy a whole kit. I think the Cable Mod kits are well over $100 for most power supplies. The Corsair kits are around the same. Oh, there we go. See, it worked. I think my browser just didn't like me. One thing I noticed, so when you look at, I've got like, you know, when you get custom cables made, a lot of times you want to look at the quality. Like these are sleeved all the way into the connector, so you're not going to pull that out and mess up the whole look of them. They look really good. I didn't see any issues with these whatsoever. As you can see, we got the white and black version. There's also, I did see on Amazon there's white, but they don't list it on their website for these. But there's black as well, so you can kind of pick. There's not a whole lot of colors, but the black and white look really good. Installing these is incredibly easy. Just like, you know, that's kind of what they're made because they're just made to connect onto everything. I did them actually in my test system. So this is my 20, with my sad flat cable 24-pin, which is bent and it's because it's test system. So that's, you know, and then I have my EPS over here. Again, they don't look bad, but they don't look great, right? And then what you do is you install the combs yourself. They're really easy to install. You know, you get your colors lined up and all of that. It's really easy to do. And then you just install them. Doesn't that look 100 times better than my...
It's a little better, yep.
Yeah, than my SAD cable there. They look really good. And the reason the cable combs are important is they help you keep that cool bend look. Right. You can see that awesome bend. If I didn't have the cable combs, they would be all over the place. And then here's my EPS connector. Yeah, it looks much better. It looks really good. And then I just hide. Of course, you hide your old cables, you know, either behind your motherboard tray or, of course, in this test bench, we hide them under the motherboard tray. it's just a win-win. They're really good. I didn't find any issues. There's no connectivity issues.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the only issue I think would be the extra cable that you have in there, right? If you've got a tight case or something, that, you know, you're adding 300 millimeters of cable length. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably worth it. And it makes it super easy to get that custom look.
Yeah,
it's affordable as well.
It's pretty affordable. So the 24 pin is $25.88 right now on Amazon. 8 pin EPS and 8 pin PCI Express are $10.99. So you're looking at 35, 45, 55 bucks if you had like a graphics card that needed 2 8 pins, instead of, you know, spending on a whole kit for a mother or for a power supply would be over $100. It's a win-win. Yeah. My only thing is they're only offering it in white, black, or white and black. So not a whole lot of color options there, but just a cool product. It just makes sense. It just makes the whole process a lot easier, because you don't even have to, you know, and again, you buy one of those cable kits. And then if you had already, you know, you're buying it after you do your build, you have to rip out all of your cables and redo it. Whereas this, you don't have to do anything. You just have to, you know, it's just an extension. So you just move your cable back, or you just, you know, put it on and you're good to go. So it just works. So I really like that. So let's move on to Case Mod Friday, and our old buddy Stuart is back with a build. And I really like this one because you don't see too many big builds with
this case is huge. I forget how big it is.
With massive cases and more than one graphics card. And he did one,
more than two graphics cards.
Well, yeah, a lot more than two graphics cards in this one. This is his Seasonic Prime TX 600 watt build. This is the feature, the 600 or 1600 watt power supply from Seasonic. But he did it in the, what is this? The Fantex.
It's the Enthru Pro.
Yeah. Or no, it's the Elite. Fantex Elite. Elite.
Yep.
Yeah. And this thing is just awesome. Of course, we know Stuart from, you know, GGF. He does really great work. And you can just see it in this. I mean, this is just, the lines are perfect, for, you know, and the colors are great. I really like how because this case is so big, you have a lot more room. Because this is still a normal ATX.
That motherboard looks tiny in there.
Yeah. But you have so much room, so you can do this cool bend down here. Which I really, really like. And of course you have the individually sleeved cables and all of that. It's just, it's a really, really awesome build. And he did these like so perfectly with the connects and all that kind of stuff. Just, I definitely like it. Yeah. I kind of miss, like, I remember like the Corsair Obsidian 800D or 1000D.
1000D, yep.
Yeah, you know, like those big old things. And yeah. Just it, like I said, it just it.
No, it's really nice. That power supply is 1600 watts, but then I mean, if you got four, what is it? 20.
I think they're
2080 supers.
Yeah, you need it. So yeah, it's just that's an awesome system. And he always does videos on his stuff, and they're really good. They're really if you good want to videos, see him, yeah. We have that on the page as well. So definitely. Check that one out. And of course, guys, we are, you know, still running our contest for the Asus ROG Strix B550F. We have how many days are left? 19 days left. So still a ton of time on this one, just to give, you know, something back to you guys. So it's just on our contest. You just click on contest right here at the top of the site, and it is the first one that will pop up. And yeah, get in motherboard. So definitely check that one out as well. And we'll move to news. And of course, we've been hearing about the RTX 3080 and 3080 Ti and maybe a 3090. New leak came out from a pretty well-known leaker on who's been really good with information in the past on GeForce RTX GPUs. He said that the RTX 3080 would be 20% faster than the RTX 2080 Ti. So not the Ti model, the 3080 will be 20% faster than the 2080 Ti, which means that a 3080 Ti could be upwards of 40, which we actually heard.
Mm-hmm. Last week, right?
Yeah. And that kind of, that sounds I don't know. That sounds a little high.
It's still pretty, yeah, pretty high jump generation to generation.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are really excited about these GPUs.
As long as like the performance, as long as that performance is there and it's not like lesser performance, but hey, we've improved RTX, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm afraid of. Not afraid of, but that's like in the back of my mind, like a little bit of a worry.
Yeah, it's I think that they have to put an emphasis on RTX, obviously. Sure. But I think, you know, again, like the 20 series was let's try this RTX thing. Now that they have that kind of, you know, they have people into it, hopefully this is at least a little bit more performance, because people were really kind of disappointed in the 20 series as far as comparing it to the 10 series when it comes to performance. It wasn't all that great. So we'll just kind of have to see on that one. Yeah. People were asking, you know, in the chat earlier, when do you think it will come out? I'm guessing late August or early September for a announcement, and then late September for a release. That's my guess. We don't know. We already posted about the leaked timeline and things like that. You can check that on the site. We talked about that weeks ago. But we'll just, it's kind of play it by ear for
One of my buddies was asking me earlier this week or this weekend. He was like, hey, when's the new NVIDIA stuff coming out? He wants to upgrade. I think he's got 980 Ti or maybe two of them.
Yeah.
So he's getting itchy to buy something. And
it'll be there for holiday season. We'll just put it down.
That's the same thing.
So AMD released their 4000 series. Hey. But they're the APUs. Oh. So they're not the 4000 series desktop, which of course we're super excited for. They also released their Ryzen Pro 4000 series and their Geflon 3000 G series. We'll just talk about the Ryzen 4000 G series, which comes with a 7-nanometer APU. That, you know, of course it's an APU, so it features graphics. We have all the specs on these. It's not horrible for what you're getting. If you are really on a budget and you want to pick one of these up to do 1080p esports, that's, you know, that's kind of what they'll do. But I think that, again, they're not bad for what they are. I just think that we have affordable like Ryzen, you know, those Ryzen 3 parts, then you can pick up a graphics card. These are a hard sell these days for a lot of people, especially a lot of gamers.
With how affordable Ryzen 3, like 3300X and then, 5600 or something.
Yeah.
It's pretty affordable.
Yeah, so you can check out all the details. We have, of course, all the details on these parts. We're not super excited about them, but you might be. So definitely check out the article if you want to see what those are all about. Now, this is interesting. I've been talking about this because I do think that Apple may have something here, but I know we're not Apple people, and I'm not an Apple person. I don't think I'll ever buy a Mac. I don't think, but I do. See, I do have an iPhone.
You got an iPad. Apple Watch.
I do. I know. I have replaced almost everything I do on my laptop with an iPad. That's another discussion, though. We talked about that when I bought it. For like email and everything else, the iPad is far superior, far faster than a normal laptop. And it's incredibly smaller. And I don't get yelled at on the airplane when I use it while we're taking off. So, But yeah, so this new leak came out about, you know, Apple has moved from using Intel Silicon to their own. And we've been hearing tons of reports about this performance is going to be crazy. Now, Apple Rumors, one of the Apple Rumors on Twitter, they said that there could be the first Apple Silicon chip may come with 12 cores. That means they're not messing around. ARM-based chips initially are going to be in laptops, right? But do you think that Apple could replace Intel on their desktops? Like, you know,
I don't know. I don't see them doing it right away.
I think it's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, they've got to work some kinks out. There's no way it's perfect yet. And for them to go all in on, all right, we're all ARM all the time, that seems risky to me.
Yeah, Shinny said he's never owned an Apple product immediately in the trash. I mean, yeah, you know, I got in on the iPhone and I liked it. I do really like the iWatch and what it can do. Especially fitness related, and it tracks my sleep, which I like. Not natively, but you have to get an app, but just like as far as I don't think I would ever own, and I almost thought about buying a Mac once. This was like years ago when like Adobe Premiere wasn't big and Final Cut was like the only editing software you could use.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about getting a Mac then because like I wanted to edit video and there was nothing equivalent to Final Cut at the time. So yeah, I was going to get a Mac. Yeah. But now that we have Premiere.
So do we think this will be like 12 pure CPU cores or maybe like 8 high performance and 4 low power? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. This is an interesting leak. So I'm really not sure. Yeah, it would be kind of cool to see what Apple could do. And like, what if they have this crazy performance and then obviously they're not going to offer this CPU to other people, right? And could this be could in 4 or 5 years be this crazy shift where people want to buy Apple high-end PCs again?
Maybe.
I don't think. Because again, I mean, how much was their Mac Pro? $35,000? You know what I mean?
Insane amount of money.
Yeah. Shinny said, when do you charge your watch if you wear it in your sleep? That's a good question. Because the reason I didn't want to buy this was the battery life. And I take a shower before I go to bed. And then I charge it when I'm in the shower, come out, it's fully charged. The charging on this is actually really good. So.
Is that a long shower or it just charges?
No, it charges pretty fast. Like on a date, like let me see what I'm at now. I haven't touched it or I've actually, let's see. I'm at 76% now. Probably to get to 100, it might take like 20 minutes or something like that. It's not bad. That was my big worry with it, right? But yeah, I do track my sleep and it's pretty, pretty cool to see all that kind of data and all that kind of stuff. So we will see on the Apple stuff. Shinny, if they come out with a high-end PC, I'll buy you one. As long as it's under, I don't even know. Like,
Wait a minute.
I get myself into if it's going to be super, super expensive. But yeah, so talking about CPU stuff, possibly Intel put up a little teaser that says, drop in, we have something big to share, September 2nd.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think it's 10th gen CPU? Do you think?
I mean,
that it's 11? Xe graphics or 11th gen CPU? Do you think it's Xe graphics? What do you think it is?
I lean towards Xe graphics. We just
Do you think it's something else like, that totally we don't know?
Yeah, like
something super business related that we would not even be interested in.
What? How did they share this? Was it like on social media?
I think it was on social media, yeah.
I mean, so I don't think it'll be 11th gen. We just got 10th gen, right? I don't see them sharing that already. I have a feeling it's Xe, especially when we saw like Ryan Shrout showing, what was it, Battlefield or something on that laptop, right, running on there. So I kind of lean towards some sort of graphics.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's graphics. So we'll see. So it's definitely stay tuned. So, man, this summer is going quick. I just realized that it's almost into August.
Yeah.
Man, the summer of Corona.
Yep. And not beer.
I know. And not the alcohol kind. So, so we met with Phison earlier this year at CES, did we not? And they talked about, we're going to see high capacity NVMe drives. They showed us a 16 terabyte SSD or, you know, typical SSD, and they showed us an 8 terabyte NVMe. We already saw companies come out with that 8 terabyte, one of them being Saperent. Now Saperent has a 4 terabyte Gen 4 Gen 4 NVMe SSD, making it the world's first 4 terabyte Gen 4 drive.
That'll fit awesome. In my system if you want to send one over.
I know you do. You are rocking Ryzen, so you can do Gen 4. I like that they offer this in the white now.
Yeah, I think that looks pretty cool.
I have a black version of this. This heatsink is massive, by the way, and these are real heat pipes. It's pretty cool. Saberin has kind of come out. We just started working with them probably 2 years ago or a year and a half ago.
They just keep coming out with great stuff over and over.
Yeah. So it's a Rocket Q4. That's what it's called. Available in capacities up to 4 terabytes, 4,900 megabytes a second read, 3,500 megabytes a second write. Fast, very fast. And the, up to 4 terabytes is nice. Uses QLC NAND as well. It is $770 with the heatsink, $750 without the heatsink if you want to pick up the 4 terabyte version. But
gotta pass on that, I guess.
Hey, you gotta, So we're getting higher, and I think possibly by the end of the year we'll get up to 8, 10,
8 on Gen 4.
Yeah, probably, I'm guessing. So Asus had an announcement of a bunch of products, but the one that caught my attention, because I'm a keyboard guy, Asus.
Is this in the notes?
It is.
Oh, okay. Oh, you skipped the Corsair news.
Oh, did I?
Yep.
Oh, okay. We'll go to the Corsair. Sorry, guys. I'm just messing everything up here. So a leaked image of a new Corsair case came out, and it showed a couple interesting things. And I don't know I really don't think it's going to be called the 4000D, because when you get up higher in the Ds, like the 1000D,
this doesn't look like it's of that level.
Yeah, it's an entry level case. This is an entry level case that Corsair is going to come out with. We already know that. So I don't know about the 4000D, but some interesting things are in the image. We'll talk about the case first. The first thing is they're using this new, what is it called? Rapid route cable management.
Someone else did something like that, didn't they?
NZXT did this,
okay.
I believe. And NZXT, I didn't like it because this is one route, right? It's not separated. You have one route for your cables, which is great. And we've seen companies kind of indent this middle section to do that anyways.
Right.
So this looks good. You have your Velcro straps. It looks fine. When NZXT did it, there was two routes that were they basically put a wall in the middle of the route for different cables. It was just not big enough and it wasn't done right. So this looks nice, I would say.
Yeah.
The second thing is we see this guy, this new cooler.
It's a little different.
It looks a little different. So I'm assuming when this case comes out around the same time, we'll see new AIOs from Corsair.
Yeah, it looks like it has a lot taller block there, right? So maybe we're getting a little more fluid in there, or a better pump, maybe a little different pump design, who knows.
Yeah, so
like patents or something.
Yeah, get around some patents for sure. So that's pretty cool. I like that we're still getting, this isn't a crazy innovation, NZXT did it, but we're still getting some newer things added into cases. I think we get stagnant sometimes when it comes to that. And then we just get the same things over and over again. So we'll see. I would like to get this into review to see how well that actually works. What's the front airflow? That just looks like RGB fans.
Right. But does it what's the front panel look like as far as getting air into it? I think
it's this. It almost
has got the slits on the front to bring air in.
Yeah, so not
probably a little more crazy. Restrictive than you're like, oh, look at that USB color. You see that? It's like a yellow. Green.
The Corsair nice. Yellow. Yeah, that would be new. I didn't even notice that.
It's kind of like Razer doing the green on their stuff.
Yeah, so cool. Corsair might. Yeah, I do like those little touches are kind of like the cool things. Like, Corsair, we know them for the yellow. So that would be cool if now their new cases, the USB ports are the yellow. That'd be kind of cool. Is the front glass or mesh? I assume this is
it looks like plastic.
Yeah, this looks like plastic. They might offer a glass version. They might offer a mesh version. We don't know. So we'll have to see, but like I said, I think we're getting, you know, because we missed Computex, obviously, and we're getting closer to the, you know, end of the year when we see a lot of products come out. So we haven't seen these because there was no Computex. Corsair didn't have an online thing or anything like that. So these products just might come out and we might just see them, which is cool. We'll see that on a lot of companies. So I'm pretty, you know, just like this, we didn't hear anything of it, this next product. So we're talking about Asus, their ROG line. They announced a 65% ROG gaming keyboard, which I think is awesome. I love small keyboards. Yep. And that's just me. But how do you say this? Falchion?
Falchion? I don't know.
Falchion? Falchion? The ROG Falchion is what it's called. 65% keyboard, super, super small. I like it. It is, gaming grade, wireless. I assume it can be wired as well because you have to charge it and there's a thing in there. And then it has this touch sensitive thing over here, which you can use to control certain things in their software. You can make it, you know, obviously, I think by default it's volume, so you can just like slide it like up or down. But I like it. I think it's cool. And I think that gives a little bit more functionality to a very smaller, you know.
I think it'd be cool if you could like set it to zoom or like, you know, to use it to scrub in video, you know.
Yeah.
Going all over the place.
You could do a lot of stuff. It looks like
a nice keyboard. I thought they were low profile keys because some of the angles almost made, or low profile switches. Some of the angles that I saw made it almost look low profile, but that side angle there in use definitely looks like full size switches.
Yeah, they're full size switches. I believe they are the Razer switches. But yeah, it's nice. I love small form factor keyboards. So
it's too bad. I feel like their peripherals are not available anywhere.
They're hard to find.
They're hard to find, which is a shame because I like the look of almost all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're very hard to find, more in the Asian market than we see. But you should be able to order them directly, like off of the ROG website if you do want them. But yeah, like finding them on Newegg or Amazon is kind of hard.
And you're definitely not finding them in town.
Oh, no, definitely not. And our last little bit of news is gaming news. For all of you who, for some reason, haven't bought Rocket League, even I have it. I don't even know how much I bought it for. I think my friend bought it for me. I don't remember. But it will become free to play, which I guess is exciting if you haven't ever played it. So
the game has some longevity, man. I remember when that thing came out and I bought it like real close to when it first came out, played it at, I think I first saw it at QuakeCon and grabbed it at QuakeCon. And
yeah. So last year, or was it this year, that Epic bought Psyonix, is that how you say it? Or Psyonix?
Psyonix,
Psyonix, the maker of the game. They put more money, obviously put that Fortnite money into it. And then we actually have Rocket League leagues now. We have teams in different cities, and there's a whole big thing. That was part of it. And of course, going free now will be a big part, you know, is a big part of that investment by Epic as well. So they don't... they have a date. I don't think they had a specific date, but it will be available. It's going to be free to play, not only on PC, but on Xbox and everything. And it's going to be cross-platform on those as well. So you can play against people who are playing on Xbox and all that kind of stuff. So, hey, it will be another free to play, which it is a good game if you have some friends to play with. I do enjoy it. Yeah, it's a fun game. It is... I would have to say, and I feel weird saying this, but it is a game that I prefer to play with a controller.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
You know, and that's weird as a PC guy to say, but yeah. I get it. So, yeah, that is our last bit of news. And we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. And I've been wanting to do this case review forever, and it's just been put in the corner because because I moved, and it's just such a big case.
It's huge. It's a lot of work, too.
I feel so bad because this is a case where you should do like custom water cooling, and I'm going to just put a normal system in it, maybe an AIO, but probably just a normal air cooled, you know, thing.
Who was it that had built in this system there that we saw in their suite? I forget his name. Anyhow, I do forget. I mean, he did a full custom build and it looked great.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is the FSP T-Wings, which is this just crazy case. And I had got it right before I moved. And it is so nice. And the thing that's nice about it is that this is all I can't click to make it bigger, but this is a really cool case. It can be dual system, or you can put one system on one side and then have like hard drives and stuff on the other. It does support dual system, but it is aluminum, not steel. All of this is aluminum. You have tempered glass panels here. It is such a cool case. And again, I feel like I'm not going to do it justice in my review just for the fact that I don't know how to do water cooling. And yeah, but it is an awesome case. It's real big. These pictures make it look kind of small, but it's not, it's actually really big. So it's a very expensive case. I think it's $500. So yeah, I'm excited to do a build inside and kind of see what I can try to make it look at least kind of cool. So we will have that for you. And then Paul is taking a look at the Creative Sound Blaster AE5 Plus, which is not only a sound card, but a DAC as well. So, you know, sound cards, provide me sound, but this will support headsets up to 600 ohms as well. They added, with this one compared to the normal AE5, they added Dolby Digital Live and DTS encoding to it. And it's really interesting. I didn't even know this until he started reviewing it and was talking to me about it, was that you can see the RGB lighting on it, but it comes with an RGB strip as well. Okay. So the whole idea is that you can, you know, RGB it inside of your case and control it all through the Sound Blaster Sound Blaster software, which is kind of cool. So if you didn't have any other RGB elements, you can kind of RGB your system out and not have to worry about extra software. So yeah, that's pretty cool. It's a really nice sound card. We will have that for you. And then you did a video, which you just showed me tonight, which I was pretty impressed with. I was pretty impressed with this video. So you have to tell me, because I kind of got the gist of it, but tell us what Grafana is and why you would use it and why you would install it on a Raspberry Pi.
Okay, so Grafana allows you to take data inputs from multiple services, servers, sources, whatever the case may be, and put them into a really cool looking dashboard. So what I plan to do with mine, literally just got it set up recently, haven't even added any sources or data to it. But like I'm going to monitor my Plex server and my network connection at home. And, you know, I'm going to throw in as much data as I can to just give me a nice dashboard of, hey, what's going on in the house, right? Is my internet connection loaded up? How much storage is available on my NAS? Who's watching what on Plex? What, you know, all sorts of just crazy data, you know, all sorts of people are just like these, you know, data enthusiasts. And there's like a whole subreddit, like data is beautiful, I think, you know, cool graphs and charts and designs and everything. So that's essentially what it is. So I did a quick install process there. It's super easy to install on a Raspberry Pi. I have like a Raspberry Pi that controls my 3D printer, and I have a Pi hole that does DNS filtering. And I have another one running something else. I don't even remember. I have like seven of them here at the house, but I recently bought two Raspberry Pi 4s. They're the newest model, just the 4 gig models. And I wanted to try out Grafana. I've always wanted to, just haven't had a chance or time. But I went through their process. It's really easy. As long as you've got the Raspberry Pi, a power supply, and a network connection, and then a card, you can install it. Like the whole video is 5 minutes long, if even that. Right, yeah. I mean, and I sped up a couple parts, just like some install pieces, but if you just follow along on the steps, you can have it done in half an hour.
Nice. So we will have that up on the YouTube probably tomorrow. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. And we, of course, talk about if we did any tech-related things this past week. Obviously, you did that.
Yeah.
Did you do anything else?
I unboxed that a new monitor that I'm taking a look at, a portable thin monitor. So I'll be working on that with you. I took some nighttime shots of the comet flying over.
You did show me those. That was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, for you know, I haven't ever shot any nighttime stuff, especially like astronomy stuff. So it was like, I'm sure I could improve the shots, but I was pretty happy with what came out.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Especially with all the light pollution that had that was all around. So
yeah, so interesting. We were playing Apex.
Oh yeah.
Last week, after the podcast, and we had just won.
Yeah.
And we're loading into the next game. I get a BSOD and I'm like, you just think, okay, I just restarted whatever it was. And then my computer would just was stopped at the main screen on the BIOS and wouldn't do anything. And the BSOD was like storage, something about storage. So I'm like, oh, you know, maybe one of my something died. And I'm like, and I thought maybe the drive that had Apex on it was the one that died. So I was like, oh, no. It was my main NVMe SSD that had my OS on it, which was kind of disappointing. So I had to rip everything out, and we were like troubleshooting, you know, what it was, and I had to take out my graphics card, do all this stuff late at night. I had to full reinstall Windows, which actually surprisingly,
you're up and going pretty early. You texted me the next morning, and you're like, "All right, got Windows loaded."
Yeah, I mean, obviously you install Windows from a flash drive, right? Yep. That's pretty easy. And then everything that I use is downloadable. Like everything. You know, the Adobe Suite, you just install the Creative Cloud on your system and then download the apps that you need. Microsoft Office, you know, you just download it. You sign in and you download it. All of the games that I have, I just download them. You know, and I didn't have to really do anything because they were on another drive and I just set them, you know, set the
point game, it back to them. Yeah.
Point it back to them. So I didn't have to do any of that. You know, you have your drivers, which is super simple. Like all that other stuff is pretty easy for the most part. So I didn't really have any issues getting anything up and running, but it was like, I think that's the first time ever that I had my OS drive die in a computer. So it was a little, I was upset. But then it didn't take me all that long to get back up and running and working. So it wasn't all that bad. So yeah, I think that's pretty much. Obviously, I was reviewing the Corsair One, and it was nice to have the Corsair One to like
as a backup.
Like while Windows was installing and stuff, like just to like work on that while I was in it. Technically, it's I guess it's like a better computer because I have a 2080 Super and there's a 2080 Ti. And that one, and yeah, but in any case, it was like I said, it was an interesting evening into the next morning getting my computer back up and running. But we will be playing Apex, of course, and I don't think we're gonna play Hyperscape. I was not a fan. Yeah,
we'll be on Apex. Yep.
Yeah, old man said I bought a 4-port PCI SATA card mostly for my 240 gig. I actually have.
I have a bunch of those.
I have a 64 gig SSD. Ooh. I might even have a 32 gig, like the really old ones. The old ones that were still in the, I have one that's in the bigger form factor, the 3.5 inch.
Really?
That was like the original ones. I still have one of those in a box.
Should open it up.
Yeah, I did. It's in storage. I have a bunch of like old tech that I just like have just to have. You know what I mean? And I think it might be an OCZ, which of course OCZ is
Toshiba really now.
Yeah, Toshiba. So yeah, so I'm pretty sure I still have that. So in any case, guys, we are going to go ahead and end things here. Of course, check us out over on Twitch for gaming. If you want to, you know, get in, we're going to play Apex. I think Shinny's jumping on with us. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And then if you are looking for us on your favorite podcasting app or software, it is just Think Computers, all one word. So we'll catch you guys next week.